Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. If I say the words President Street to you, are you going to go to Google Maps and do a search? Well, actually, no. President Street is a pop fusion band taking the UK by storm. They hail from Melbourne, Australia, and consist of Ruby and Pete. They've had a couple of top five hits on the UK dance chart and inconsiderable success on the UK college radio circuit with two headline UK tours of their own. Coming up next on Celeb Savant, we've got President Street, Ruby and Pete. Pete and Ruby, where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you. Where do you find us at the moment? We're in the UK, and at the moment we are just preparing for the upcoming release of our latest single this Friday.
Why the name President Street? Where does that come from?
I'll let Pete answer that
one. Yeah, President Street's actually the name of the street that I grew up in Perth.
Oh, okay. Tell us more about the new music that's coming out, the new album.
Yeah, so our previous single that we released, Heal, is part of an upcoming mini album, which Tell Me Brother will obviously add to. Tell Me Brother is our new song. And the theme of this mini album is very much centered around healing, you know, and the songs do sort of cover different elements of healing. And hopefully by the end of it, you're feeling more uplifted as the healing journey does go through, right?
Oh, wow. So when you speak about healing, are you talking about Reiki? What type of healing?
Not quite. It's just sort of, you know, emotional, mental, soul-based healing. Okay. You know, going through different stages of emotions. Sometimes we need to heal from grief. Sometimes, you know, too many people in the world need to unfortunately heal from abuse and things like that. Yeah. And this upcoming song sort of tackles an element that's a little bit more worldly, I guess, and healing from the abuse of war and violence and things like that, that's at a larger sort of government level, really.
Is it what's been going on in the world that's inspired the music, or was the music pre to what was going on in the world?
Yeah, so a bit of both. Look, I suppose the themes are relatively universal. And so Tell Me Brother, which really is a peace song, it's a bit of an anti-war song. It sort of feels like it's always relevant,
yeah, you know. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's, unfortunately.
Whilst it was, you know, it started its life a couple of years ago, it feels extremely relevant now. So, yeah. It's, you know, like we said, it's a bit of a universal theme that unfortunately doesn't seem to go away.
Yeah, Pete originally started writing this song about some riots in New South Wales in Australia on the East Coast, and we've sort of finished it off more recently this year. And, yeah, obviously the unfortunate things that are happening in Ukraine and you know, still all around the Middle East and other countries as well have been a big part of what's inspired this song.
You know, we're in 2022, and you would have thought humans by now would have learnt that the way we do things don't work.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you know, we're still writing songs that we're very proud of and we love, and you know, we energetically, you know, we think are fantastic and a bit of fantastic. No one describes their music as fantastic. But we think, you know, energetically they're uplifting. And but, yeah, no, so thematically that theme is running through. But at the end of the day, you know, there's still songs that we hope that people can connect to musically.
Yep.
As well as sort of, you know, through the vocals or through the lyrics.
Let's take it all the way back to the very beginning of your music career. How that all began. How did you guys meet? How did the band come together? Let's start from day one.
Okay. So, we like to say that we met on a version of musical Tinder. So there's a website in Australia called Star Now, and it's
in the UK.
It's also in the UK as well, yeah.
I think it's worldwide, actually.
It's a website where artists can put up their profiles of singers, actors, models, producers, directors.
Yeah,
All creators put their profiles, and you can go and find other creators to work with. I had a few songs together at that stage and was looking for a female singer, a Melbourne-based female singer, so I just went through literally every female singer that was on there. Ruby had actually only put herself up there for a month. She sort of said to herself, I'll put myself out there for a month to see how we go. And I was lucky that that month was the month that I was looking. And pretty much all the other singers had, you know, very professional headshots and very professionally recorded, studio-recorded demos. Whereas Ruby had like some holiday pics and she'd just taken her phone into her bathroom and sung a cappella into it.
And the pictures were still very nice holiday pictures, mind you. And, you know, and I was thinking, well, hey, if you know, I am going to collaborate with someone and they want to hear you singing, well, at the end of the day, it's to me, it's about the voice as well and the delivery. And if you want to hear my voice completely unobstructed, then this is just a raw, you know, voice note in my phone. And hey, bathrooms have good acoustics, right?
Yeah. Let's say so, yes.
And so I got reached out to Ruby and we got in touch. And yeah. In fact, I think Ruby was the only one I reached out to. And luckily, she, you know, we got together and, you know, it's been great ever since. So I've been very collaborative. And now we do all the songwriting jointly and, you know, everything together now. So, you know, it's been fantastic to have such a strong partner on the journey.
And we've been really fortunate. We've had, you know, some great people part of President Street along the journey as well. But, you know, as life goes through twists and turns and, you know, people's jobs and, you know, other factors in life, you know, one could say infringe on their ability to do music. You know, it sort of ended up as the two of us for the last while. And yeah, it's been really great. We've been enjoying moving President Street along. And the name, actually, I think we touched on it before, but President Street, yes, is a street that Pete grew up on, but we wanted to speak about it because, you know, music in a way is the universal language and universal therapy for the soul, I think. Yep. And a lot of things happened on President Street for Pete. A lot of things happened for me in my life, as they do for most people in this world. And it was just a nice sort of cathartic full circle to come back to President Street and have music as, you know, the outlet for both of us.
And how long have you guys been recording and collaborating together?
Including COVID, probably about five, 6 years now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But obviously 2 years of COVID was pretty
quiet.
And we were in Melbourne, the most lockdown city in the world, but we're not talking about COVID anymore, are we?
Positive energy. Let's dive into your creative process. From zero or nothing, what is a process of collaboration and the magic of a 3 to 4 minute song? How does that come to be? Is it different each time? Is there a specific intention that you guys have when sitting down together? Tell us more about that process.
It's definitely very different each time, we feel. You know, some songs just almost write themselves and they're done in like 6 minutes. You know, the melody comes, the music comes, the lyrics just flow out and it's done. Others, you know, take a little bit more time and or they are a little bit more cognitive. We do set out with a message that we really want to communicate because we're inspired by something specific. But normally it sort of starts with Pete just strumming away on the acoustic guitar and I'll just start, you know, singing some melodies and then we'll sound it out and whatever's a topic that we sort of want to write about or words that just sort of fit into the melody shapes. That's generally how we sort of, that's the beginning of most of our songwriting processes.
Yeah, and we don't really go in predetermined, we're going to write this kind of song or that kind of song. We very much let the song write itself in a lot of ways. And we go, okay, you know, emotionally this song is bringing out us and taking us in this direction, so therefore we'll create along that path, so to speak.
Pre-President Street, were you guys in the entertainment industry performing or did you guys have different journeys?
We both had different journeys. Ruby has been singing since she was very little and but never really formally out there, so to speak. So I think President Street is the first outward projection of your voice, other than a bit of sort of performing in school theatres and things, school plays and things like that.
Yeah, I grew up in a very strict family, and I wasn't allowed to pursue music. I wasn't allowed to do any music schools that I wanted to do or all that sort of stuff. So it was delayed until I was old enough to be able to do it on my own completely, which is good. Made me realize that, you know, I really did want it as well, I guess. And yeah, Pete.
Yeah, so I had been down a bit of a journey. I got into music a bit. Again, similarly, I didn't have any musical training or anything as a kid. Neither of us have had a musical lesson, so we've had to learn to speak a language that works for us to communicate without formal musical sort of terminology. But yeah, so I was obviously down the path. I had been writing, I had been creating, I had been starting down this path of wanting to do music more, of doing music seriously. I was doing a bit of gigging around, playing percussion in bands around town and stuff. But President Street was really for both of us, the coming out.
Yeah, the big first step.
of our, you know, of our musical career.
Yeah, and creatively as well.
You guys collaborate together. It's obviously a unit that works brilliantly and works well. Is there any interest in bringing any other collaborators into the fold, or are you guys happy with the unit as is?
We're working with some other people in okay. England. So we just recently did a big tour of the UK with Rochford. Who's absolutely amazing. If you ever get the chance to see him, I recommend you do. So, you know, we met some people when we were out that last time. And so there's a couple of people that we're starting to songwrite with and collaborate with. Yeah. Which has been really great. So we're really excited. We've got an exciting session coming up this week with an amazing guy in England. Won't say too much about it yet, but, you know, we've got some things in the works with some collaboration. So that's really exciting. It's sort of an expansion of our voice in a way.
I have an interesting question. So you guys are so gelled as a unit. When you bring in other energies or other personas or other collaborators, there's that excitement, but do any other nerves or, in inverted commas, ego play into it? You know, it's obviously big names and like, oh, it's this person, that person. So how do you, on that first day of opening that door, what is that process for you each emotionally or energetically just to calm and accept that third or fourth energy coming into your spaces?
Well, one of the things that we've really talked about is creating a safe space for creativity. And really leave checking your egos at the door. So there's no such thing as a bad idea. We want to create an environment very much where you can put out your crazy ideas because that might turn into something great, even if you feel a bit embarrassed about it. So that's our overarching creative philosophy is it's a safe space and it's a space to be goofy and to throw mud at the wall and see what sort of thing. And the people that we work with, we meet them first and we get a sense that, you know, they're on the same page. And so we haven't really had any dramas at all in that
time. Yes, it is. It's you know, as you say, it's about just sort of feeling and reading their energy as well. Mm. And, you know, as humans, we all, well, maybe not all of us, but most of us do sort of, you know, naturally adapt to other people's energy, and you just sort of create a new little combination of people each time that you do work with someone else. And yeah, we've been really fortunate to work with some really kind and incredibly talented people.
And I'm sure if there were any situations where they weren't gelling with those energies or personalities, that there wouldn't have been an end result of a song, or it wouldn't have led to collaborations.
Yeah, or definitely probably not further collaborations, I guess. Yeah. You just leave it at that and be like, all right, thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you for your time. Bye. At the door.
But we haven't, I can't say that we've encountered that yet, have we?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. Yeah.
Cool. But everything we've released so far has just been really us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the collaborations that we're working on are for future songs.
Okay. You spoke about the mini album, and when is that going to be released? Tell us more about that.
Probably March, April next year as a guess. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, but okay. I think that's probably when we've been looking at that.
These collaborations that you're doing now, is that for the mini album or for songs later on?
See how they come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we're keeping an open mind to that nice. Stuff. Yeah, we'll see what comes, and if they're strong enough and, you know, and they feel that they're in the right frame, absolutely, we'd love to put them in.
Now tell us about what you enjoy about performing live.
Oh, everything.
Live, that's something else. And at the end of the day, we are so grateful to be able to do it, because there's really not many people in the world that do get to stand up on a stage and feel that energy of people. You've got, you know, hundreds, thousands of bodies standing in front of you who are eagerly, you know, wanting to be entertained. They want to feel something from you. And it is, it's an honor. For me personally, in the past, I was probably a little bit in my head. I was a little bit, you know, shy and had my little issues to work through. And now, you know, it's just so fun. You know, you get to dress up, you get to put on a show, we get to just do what we love at the end of the day. You know, we sometimes can get caught up like in the studio and trying to do social media and all of the back end side of things that we do as independent musicians. And being on stage, no matter how stressed you are or no matter how whatever's been happening, it's the ultimate release, it's the ultimate joy, because you literally feel those vibrations in the floor from the drums and from the music and all of that. And it's just so special. And to connect with the audience, to be able to look at people's faces and communicate what we've been writing about, and have that real-time feedback from an audience as well.
Coming from the audience perspective, I love me a concert. I love standing right in front. But what I find is everyone around me has their cell phone up trying to get the perfect picture, perfect video. They're not in the moment. They're so busy tweeting, posting, TikToking, whatever all the words are. Does that not sometimes take away from the energy and connection that you're trying to connect with the audience?
Look, at the end of the day, I suppose what we do is we come out there and we're so focused on giving the best performance that we can. And a lot of what we talk about is we perform for ourselves as well. So regardless of what's happening out in the crowd, we want to make sure that we're at our strongest, and we're always focusing on that. And that's just the way, at the end of the day, that's just the way it is now. People want to share it at the same time as they're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great for us too, at the end of the day, you know, to be able to
have people sharing
our music.
Us. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just reality. And as Ruby says, we feel very lucky and very blessed to be able to get out there and be on stage and play to people. So it doesn't bother us at all.
And I've, like, on the most recent tour with Rocha, for example, like, after we would get off stage, we'd, you know, go to the merch stand before he would come on, and also at the end of the night. And, you know, that's obviously a great opportunity for people that feel compelled to. They'd come up and have a chat with us, and a lot of people would airdrop, like, their videos and photos that they did take, and then they'd be like, oh, I just had a look at them, I'm so sorry, like, I wasn't even looking at the screen because I was just, like, actually so engaged with you guys. And so the videos aren't necessarily really great videos because they're not actually looking through their phone lens, which
okay.
In that sense of what you said, maybe not everyone.
Yeah.
it's definitely a thing now, and there's not really much you can do about it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, what can you do?
Way back when, it was CDs, vinyls, cassettes. I'm very grateful that those are making a comeback. I love me a CD. Holding the aesthetic. They're holding the thing, looking at the booklet, looking at the artwork, looking at the pictures. What are your thoughts of the way that music is now consumed by the listening audience?
Yeah, I guess you, in a way, like, we really can't be, obviously, yes, it's changed. I don't think there's much of a service to us to be negative about it, mm-hmm. because it is what it is, and we have to roll with it if we want to be sharing our music with people. But yeah, of course, it's a much higher rate and faster consumption. It's not as much, like you said, that experience of waiting at the, you know, music shop or whatever, and, like, getting there early before they sold out, and potentially getting a signed copy, and going home, taking the plastic off, opening it up and flicking through and reading all the producers and songwriters and all the lyrics and all the photos and everything. That's, you know, that's definitely an amazing experience that, you know, people don't get to experience as much anymore. But in a way, they do get to experience it because there's all of the social media content of, like, the lyric videos and, you know, all the photo shoots and stuff like that. It's just more easily accessible, I guess.
And immediate. So, you know, people might hear something and they go, what's that? They Shazam it. They go straight to Spotify and they add it. And so the accessibility and the immediacy of it is great versus in the maybe before that, they'd have to remember it, write it down, go home, try and find it, whereas now it's like, oh, I like that, I'll go find it straight away. So, you know, there's a lot of pros that come with it as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's
good. So we're pretty, you know, at the end of the day, as Ruby says, that's our medium now. Yeah. And that, you know, and that's great.
And we have more of a global reach as well, you know, than if we were doing music in, you know, before that.
Exactly. And, but, you know, the thing is, I have my Spotify account, but I also I still have my monthly budget for my CDs. And I get my CDs from Amazon each month. So I have the hybrid of both, but I understand both, because if you previously, you might have been more targeted or more marketable in sort of a specific area or country or couple of countries. But now with the accessibility and the immediacy, it allows you to be reached in different countries around the world that you never thought of possibly being reached before. So I understand both areas. It's interesting.
Yeah, and we have direct access to, like, the database of that for Spotify artists and all of that. And you can see, oh, my God, there's, like, people in Japan or, like, Russia listening to our songs. Like, it's like, wow, like, how did that happen? That's amazing.
Yes. I'm going to put you both on the spot, and it will be different every time. So if I had to ask each of you this question in 5 minutes, 5 hours, tomorrow, 2 weeks, it'll be a different answer. So, Ruby, you first. Your top 5 favorite songs by other artists.
By other artists?
Yes.
Okay, all time or recently?
Well, just in this moment. The top 5 that come to mind.
All right. I'm thinking of the songs that I just had on repeat so much over the last few years. Circles by Post Malone. Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
An old one is My All by Mariah Carey. Oh my gosh. The Way You Make Me Feel, Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And Runaway by The Corrs.
Oh, interesting mix. Now over to you, Peach. Your top five. You had time to think.
Yeah, no problem. Well, actually, a few of them, like Dua Lipa, definitely Don't Start Now is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a bit of a Prince fan, so I do love When You Were Mine by Prince. It's probably very much in there. I do love Maxwell out of New York. So he's, you know, I think he's absolutely amazing. So, you know, he's, what's that record? Jeez, no good. My mind's escaped me. But that Urban Hangsway, Maxwell's Urban Hangsway. I got a lot. I really like Ed Sheeran. I play a lot of Ed Sheeran. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And I just think everything that Coldplay does is incredible. So.
Yeah, love Coldplay.
Putting out there that those are a few of the collaborations you'll be doing down the line with some of those artists.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
It'll be hard to do with Prince, but everyone else.
Yeah. Your guys, have you been to South Africa at all? Your experience of the country?
Not me.
I have. I went to the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
Soccer World Cup.
In Cape Town or Johannesburg?
In Joburg and Durban.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, it was amazing. I actually went at the beginning of the tournament.
Yeah.
And went to Joburg for the opening ceremony and actually went to the concert the night before with Black Eyed Peas.
Yes.
And spent the day in the town, Nelson Mandela's township. And it was the most amazing experience. It was just absolutely incredible.
Putting it out there that your guys will be coming here to perform soon, and I'll be right up in front cheering you, and then we'll go for coffee afterwards. How does that sound?
That would be amazing. We'd love to.
No, absolutely done. We would love that.
Now, the podcast is not only listened to in South Africa, but in the UK, Australia, in America, all around the world. So my top five countries mainly is currently USA, UK, Australia, South Africa, and Belgium. So understanding that the podcast is listened to throughout the world, what would you like to say as a final message to the listening audience?
Oh, hello, everyone.
Well, listen, thanks for listening in, you know, and we certainly hope that you guys do connect with the music that we're writing, and we certainly would love to hear from you through socials. If you don't like it, also, you know, like we're very open to having any conversation. So, you know, we hope the message of the song does come through, and we hope that there's an opportunity for people to reflect a little bit. But at the end of the day, mostly we want people to enjoy the music. And we want people to hopefully connect with us. And, you know, please feel free to reach out and, you know, and say hey on socials.
So this is Celeste Barrett Edelstein signing out with Ruby and Pete from President Street.